Hello and welcome to episode 1 of the Midnight Triple Feature podcast. You can find us on the web at midnighttriplefeature.blogspot.com and on Twitter at mtfeature. For today's show, we'll be discussing the 1983 horror sci-fi cult B-movie classic The Deadly Spawn, the 1995 splatter horror comedy Evil Ed, and the 2011 Nazi zombie action pick War of the Dead. Enjoy.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
And now for our feature presentation.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Mike. Right next to me is Adam.
Yo.
And directly across from me is Connor.
What's up?
All right, guys. So a few weeks back, we went out to Chiller. So what do you guys think?
So to anyone who doesn't know what Chiller Theater is, it's a TV, movie, toy expo. It takes place in Jersey twice a year.
Basically anything a geek could want.
Exactly. So this is our second time at Chiller as a group. And we thought we'd discuss it a little bit. So the first thing I'd like to talk about is, upon our arrival at Chiller, it's a beautiful sunny day, and we get in the long line waiting for entrance since we didn't have the pre-pass because we're too cheap to buy tickets.
No fucking points here anyway.
Right. You know, the three of us are standing there, and this nice little woman walks up to us and immediately pulls Connor out of line. Now, at first, me and Mike are kind of like, oh, you know, like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why are they pulling Connor out? So she has, like, a little clipboard and shit, and she starts taking information, and we quickly realize, well, she's, like, a fucking talent scout, right? So me and Mike immediately are like, oh, well, we're, like, hideous fucking hunchbacks.
Beer bellies.
Right, I mean, we're, like, fucking old. We got, you know, stubble on our faces. Now, we're overweight, so of course this lady doesn't want to talk to us.
I wonder what that says about the people that are there that they picked me out.
Right, and it really also makes me wonder, why are they at Chiller? And we'll get to that a little later, because you're not going to find too many attractive model-like people there.
So well, they what found
I
wanna, one.
What I'm going to do is I'm wondering, Connor, you gave them your information, correct?
I did.
Okay. What happened with that?
Nothing. They haven't called me. I gave them my cell phone number.
Okay. So
you didn't wake up in a room full of plastic or anything?
No. Right. My fucking organs laying on the table? No, I didn't.
So what I'm thinking was going to happen is one of two things. He's going to end up in like some weird snuff film, or he's going to end up in like a Kmart ad. So later on in the show, you know, at the show, we're in some, I don't know, we had just gotten a signature in one of the rooms, and I don't know where this fucking guy walks up and literally like maneuvers his way between me and Mike. Like, he's like a fucking, like a snake, right? He, like, works his way through us.
Dude.
And he beelines to Connor. And this dude's got a fucking clipboard, too.
But keep in mind that Connor is actually behind us on the side of a pole.
Right.
He's actually hidden from everybody.
Right. So, of course, this is another fucking talent scout, right? So he ignores me and Mike once again because we're hideous as fuck. And Connor apparently is
man
like a,
dime.
Right, he's like a male model,
I
right?
Guess so.
Like, so Connor, what happened? What did he say to you?
Well, what did the girl say in line when we first got there?
I don't know. She was just like, well, I wasn't really into it. I was kind of trying to get back. She was like, oh, so what do you do? I was like, I go to these things, and I kind of tried to start to, like, walk back. But she was like, no, I think she said, like, come on, I like your look or something like that.
Right.
And I think, I don't know, I think you have potential or something like that. And okay. I just wanted to get her to get the fuck away, so I gave her my number.
Okay.
I don't know, I thought it, you know, maybe it's, like, casting for being an extra in a horror movie or something. I was like, yeah,
maybe.
That could be cool.
You never know. Snuff film.
I don't think,
film.
It's not, yeah, porno.
German shyster.
The next thing, you know, with the guy, which I already described, what did this, this was really funny, because the guy, like, you would have sworn that we were, like, in a fucking movie. What did this guy, do you remember what he said to you as he walked away?
No.
He walked away, and he turned around very dramatically, and he looked at you, and he said, "It's not a coincidence." And then he walked
away. He just said.
No, you know, it was pretty
dramatic. I don't think it was
dramatic.
That dramatic.
No, it was
pretty dramatic.
From our point of view, it was dramatic, because we're standing there on the outs, looking in.
Because he actually put his hand out and like gesture and said, "Dude, it's not a coincidence. Look into it, man. It's definitely not a coincidence." Right.
So what we took away from this is that apparently Connor is gorgeous, and Mike and I are just fucking disgusting. So that's all I have to say about that. I want to move on.
You learned a lot, I think.
A couple other things to talk about Chiller here. I want to talk about some of the people. So I don't know to anybody who's ever been to a convention, but people don't usually bathe. So we're coming in the second day. And I have to say, like, the BO, we went in October as well, and the BO in October
was worse.
Was worse.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. It was definitely worse.
Right. I mean, there were
more things
people.
Are more open and spring.
Right. So right.
I guess. I don't know.
So there were a lot more people at that show. This one was a little bit more, you know, dialed down in terms of attendance. But there was.
I mean, that one's right before Halloween.
There's a couple guys I want to talk about. So number one was, we're walking, you know, when we get to the show, the first thing we kind of do is, we go into the vendors' rooms and we kind of make our way around, sort of see, you know, like who's selling what. What, you know, maybe we want to buy something. Kind of get an idea of what the prices are like. So we're walking down this very narrow hallway, and there's these big, fat fucks, like blocking like the entire hallway. Like you can't get through. And then we realize that they're standing at the table for, it's like WWE models or Playboy models.
Yeah, I think they're like divas or whatever. Like,
right. So, and of course, these guys are standing at this table and they're fucking like drooling over these girls. They're you know, asking them for pictures. They're throwing cash at them. So I want to know. Like,
well, because they think that she actually gives a shit about them.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Like, do you think, like, here's my issue. So if I tell people, like, all right, when I've told people before, I go to a convention and I get these looks, you know, like, because I get grouped in with those guys. Like, I'm the guy that smells, that walks up to tables and just is, like, pathetic.
Just trolls over girls.
Right. What do you think about, like, do you think that that's, like, a really bad thing for these conventions? That, like, they bring in these Playboy models, dudes are paying them for it. Like, they have nothing to do with the genre, right? They're not in horror film. Yeah, they're in wrestling. Okay, they're in wrestling, but...
I mean, I don't give a shit if they bring them there. Just don't put them in the room, in the vendor room, where you can't get by because all the fat fucks are in front of the table.
they just clog
up the... I mean, put them in a side room like the rest of the people.
Yeah, well, no, because where that table was kind of dumb, because it was right in the middle of a line.
Right.
You couldn't, like, if you wanted to buy something at the table across from there, you couldn't, because you were just stuck with just a line of people. Those tables needed to be moved, and nobody was even getting those people's autographs anyways.
They were just getting pictures on their...
They were sleeping! Yeah. They were so old, they were falling asleep at the table. Just some old-ass wrestlers.
So, anyway, you know, and the other thing I want to talk about is while we were there, there was a... You know, at conventions, it's pretty common to dress up in costumes. So the other thing I get if I tell people I go to conventions is, you know, I dress up as, like, fucking Robin... And run around in tights and, like, you know, I don't do that. It's not me. But while we're there, there was one guy in particular I want to talk about. And I think he was supposed to be dressed up in a Kiss outfit.
Oh, the duct tape guy.
Right. He had duct tape from his belly button to the top of his ass crack.
I don't remember.
And
this
it
guy.
Looked like that was like a banana hammock. Like he's holding.
It was like a G-string made out of tape.
Right. He had a G-string made out of tape. And that tape at any minute was going to let loose. And this dude... So, as we're leaving, you know, we're driving out. We left a little bit early. This guy's walking, and he's walking like he just took a crap in his pants because the tape is about to fall. His nuts are going to be let loose. He's pushing like a fucking baby cart. And what I want to know is, like, what do you guys think about people dressing up in, like, ridiculous fucking costumes and going to these? Do you think that's cool? Like...
Well, it depends on the costume, because that Kiss guy was ridiculous. I mean, that was pretty much duct tape and, like, plastic bags. And the boots he were wearing, if you notice, they were made out of cardboard. Right? But remember in last year in October when we went, the guy dressed up like Bane?
Right.
That was a sick costume.
That was really good.
No, wasn't that the Mad Max guy?
No, no, the, there was one guy that was dressed like Bane, and he was walking around with no shirt on, and, like, everybody was taking pictures with him, but.
No, that was the Mad Max guy. That wasn't Bane.
Which one?
Yeah, it was Mad Max?
Because he had another guy with him.
It was the Road Warrior guy. I don't know what the dude that wears the mask. Yeah, you're right.
He looks very similar to Bane.
Very similar, yeah. You know, so, it's just,
I think the costumes are cool, though. I mean, there were some really cool ones. Like that chick that always dresses up as Daryl from Walking Dead. That's right.
That's a really good costume. It just, my problem is these people give an image of, if I tell people I'm going to a convention, then I'm automatically grouped into this, you know, this group of people of.
Well, yeah, they think you're prancing around in a costume or something.
And I wish that dudes wouldn't put duct tape over their nuts. Overall, I just want to, you know, Chiller's a great show. We have a lot of fun when we go there. October was better than April.
Definitely.
The guests can always vary, but vendors are great, and I would recommend that if you live in the Northeast, you live near Jersey, yeah, check it out if you haven't been. It's a good time, and that's all I have to really say about that. So
definitely have to recommend the October show over the spring show, though. There's a lot more guests in October too, as well.
I would have to agree.
Plus, right. I mean, it's right before Halloween, so.
Right. Costumes are better.
But.
All right. So, that's Chiller. Good show. Recommend going if you can get down there or up there, depending on where you're coming from. I just wanted to touch base on, you guys heard, Ray Harryhausen died?
Yep.
Died,
I didn't know. Yeah.
He died, at 90. He was 92 years old. 92.
That's fucking old.
If you guys don't know who he is, he was the king of stop motion animation. This guy really perfected that type of, video, well, pretty much until when digital came out and pushed him out of the way, but,
I mean,
he did some really good movies like, Mighty Joe Young, you know, The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, and Clash of the Titans, which is really a classic movie.
That's a great movie, yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, it's too bad, you know, I mean, the guy lived forever, and he was talented as hell. He did great work, so. You know, you look at something like the shit that Tim Burton puts out, that stop motion stuff, where Ray Harryhausen was doing that years before. And he, you know, a lot of modern filmmakers probably owe a lot to him in terms of just special effects in general. So.
Oh, yeah.
It's too bad he passed, but the guy lived forever. He did a lot. So.
Yeah, 92, you can't ask
right, it's not like, you know, it's he probably is very happy with what he accomplished.
So. Oh, yeah, no doubt. So you guys heard that they pushed back the Jurassic Park 4 because they wanted to give the directors and people more adequate time, they said, to make this flick.
That's not
so what
a good
do you guys?
That's never
well,
a good sign.
You know, it's not.
That means it's shit, and we want you to.
Right,
you know,
they
fix
need
it.
To reshoot. You know, they did the same thing with like World War Z, I think, where they went
which
back.
Looks like shit. So.
Right, and they had to reshoot. If it's for reshoots, and you know, reshoots are normal on this kind of thing, but you know, hopefully it's not pushed back for some sort of post-conversion 3D thing.
Who's directing this one?
You know what, Dad? I don't know, but,
it's not Spielberg.
Yeah.
Definitely not Spielberg, yeah. But, I got a feeling that could be completely wrong, so don't take this for anything, but I got a feeling that it's gonna be a lot of CGI in this film. Just like everything else is that's coming out right now, and it's gonna completely ruin it.
No, it's gonna be CGI, yeah. And I don't see it being successful either. I don't think anybody wants Jurassic Park 4.
Well, if you can pull out, you know, a lot of the mechanics like Spielberg used in the first one and use them with other digital things, I think it'll be great. But if,
I mean, the original uses CGI. It's a combination of both.
Only when it has to, though, I mean.
Right. The combination of CGI with sort of animatronic and puppetry works, but you got to do it right. And something tells me that that's probably not going to be the case. That's not going to be the case with Jurassic Park 4.
So, all right. And did you guys hear about that Wes Craven will be directing the pilot that was confirmed on MTV for Scream?
Yes. Connor, you have anything to say about that?
I think that it's another show on MTV, and MTV is putting out nothing but reality shows, and I got a feeling that this is actually going to tank.
Yeah.
It's going to fail.
I think they should combine it with the MTV reality show that they already have. Have fucking Jersey Shore and then have Ghostface come and fuck them up.
Really
that's what I want.
Yeah, that would be really good.
That would be awesome. They just like walking down
insert
the
insert it into every MTV reality show. Just insert that guy. Have him kill off everybody. And then no more fucking
that's
reality shows.
That's a really good idea.
That would be an awesome idea.
That's what I want. And then they can get a chance to be in another show. So that's what they want. Their attention holders. So.
That's really good. MTV produced, I think they produced the My Psycho Sweet 16
I think I watched that
trilogy.
Actually.
Now, I haven't actually seen those movies, but I've heard that the first two are actually pretty good. This doesn't give me any hope for the Scream series, because I'm pretty sure it's going to be a piece of shit. But, you know, it's not that MTV doesn't have the ability to produce good programming. I mean, they produced Beavis and Butthead, right? Which I know Mike and I are fans of.
Oh, yeah. But it only lasted, the new one only lasted one season.
That's the problem, so. Is it seems like anything that they put out that's good fails. And that's, it's the MTV demographic, that would be my guess. So, the Scream series, I have no idea how they're gonna do that. I mean, I'm assuming they're just gonna basically it's almost like a reboot, where they're gonna bring in, you know, a group of young.
It's just like, how are they going to make it interesting every week, though? I mean,
right, I don't... It has to be, you know, in the vein of, you know, the, I don't even know, the vein of sort of the way they working with that AMC works with series, where you're sort of working overtime to... The reveal, it doesn't make sense, because if they're taking the original series, you already know the reveal, so you already know who it is. So where's the suspense?
Well, yeah, they're going to have to do something new. They're going to have a new villain.
It just doesn't... I mean, are they going to acknowledge that the original exists, or are they just going to... I don't... Are they going to reboot it? I don't know. I'm confused.
Do you know why you're confused?
Why?
Because it's going to fucking tank.
It's going to supposed to happen.
I have no intentions of watching that. I'm not going to DVR that.
I'm definitely going to watch the first one to see how fucking bad it is.
Well, yeah, I'm with you there. I would definitely watch the first episode, but I just don't foresee that being... That seems like a really bad idea. And considering how badly Scream 4 did, I'm not sure... I'm just not
sure. Have you seen that?
I have not. No. I saw Scream 1 and 2. Past that, I just...
No, it is on... I do have 4 in my queue on Netflix.
Me too.
I just haven't found the time to watch it because I heard it. Yeah.
I think Wes Craven in general has made 4, maybe 5 good films. You know, he did Last House on the Left. He did Hills Have Eyes. He did Nightmare on Elm Street. He did People Under the Stairs and... You know,
all his early stuff.
And he did Scream. Right. I mean, the guy, and he's had a lot of shit. You know, he did Deadly Friend. You know, I mean, that's not a good movie. So, we can move on from this. It's just, I don't foresee, I'm not looking forward to this. So.
Well, while we're on TV shows, have you guys heard that The Walking Dead just announced that they just started filming season 4, and they've signed up for 16 episodes.
That's more than last year.
Yeah. Connor, you excited?
Fucking pumped, dude.
Yeah,
I love that show.
I know you do, man. I know.
And I liked the last episode.
I know you did.
The last episode made me depressed.
Yeah, man. I wasn't thrilled.
I wasn't a fan of the last one.
Yeah.
So they better do something at the beginning of this season to pull me back in.
I'm sure they will, though.
You know, when it comes back, I'm sure we're going to talk about it on here. And,
oh, yeah. We'll have to talk about every episode.
Right. And I do want to say I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, you know, there needs to be more zombies. No, I don't care about zombies. I don't fucking give a shit about there being more I just want shit to make sense. I want people to make decisions that make sense.
Right.
And I want the writers to have the balls to not just go the route that everybody knows they're going to go.
But I don't think that they have. They definitely have balls.
But I guess, but did they... did they really... let me think.
What's your main problem with the last episode?
My main problem?
It's been a while since I've seen it, but...
Okay, so a couple things. First of all, I do not think that The Walking Dead is good enough to give us an anticlimactic ending the way it did. I don't think that the writers are good enough. I just don't think they know how to do that. And the governor, again, I'm going to revert back to the comic books, and we'll try not to get off on a tangent too much on this, but I'm going to revert back to the comic books on this and that. The governor, his biggest strength, right, as a villain, is his ability to convince others that's what's best for them. or what's best for him is best for them.
Yep. Right.
So when they left the prison at the end, you know, when they leave, they all get out of there. And that's a great scene when they send them into the tombs. I loved all that. The governor, as a character, his strength is convincing them that what's best for them is to go back there. The governor's strength is not pulling out a gun and mowing down everybody on the street.
Except for two of them.
Except for two of them, Martinez and what, Bowman?
Yeah.
And yeah, the guy that was at the convention, actually.
Right, the guy that was at Chiller, because he's, you know, whatever.
Still alive.
But that's my biggest problem, is now the governor, Rick is now more intimidating than the governor. And the governor needs to be on equal ground with Rick, and he's not anymore.
Right,
he's weak.
He couldn't convince those people to go back. That's why he fucking killed them, though.
Right, but that's, you know, that the problem with that is that it's the writers that made you know he couldn't. And that's the problem. They didn't write that well enough. And my other problem with the finale is the red shirts, you know, setting up these people in the series that you know they're going to die. Who the fuck didn't know Andrea was going to die? You knew.
I didn't see it coming at
really?
The last episode.
Okay.
I mean, I was hoping. I was hoping a lot.
You were hoping, right?
Yeah, I don't like
it. I knew fucking Milton was going to die.
I didn't. How'd you know, though?
I just knew. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know how to tell you. Maybe I've just seen too much of this stuff.
Maybe. You
know, like,
you can just predict it.
But I knew Andrea was going, and I knew that Milton was going, because Andrea's purpose was
Well, their lines were over. Their storylines were over.
I did think that scene was good, though, where, you know.
The scene's great.
It was very suspenseful.
The scene's fantastic.
But the one thing I hated about this last season, and spoilers for anybody who hadn't seen it yet,
I think we already spoiled it pretty good.
There was the last five episodes, we'll say the last four, they talked about, we're going to war, we're going to go to war. You know, the governor was always saying, we're going to go to the prison and get these people. And Rick was always like, we're going to go to war and prepared everybody. The fifth episode, there was no goddamn war. Right. What the hell was that?
Yeah, there was. And it was, as I said, it was anticlimactic.
Yeah.
And I don't
They
think...
built it up to nothing.
Right. And I don't think that the... this is a personal opinion, because I know people... You know, I know Connor loved that episode. You know, he loved the end of the season. But for me, the writing is just not strong enough for them to pull off that anticlimactic ending. I just don't think they could do it.
It's almost like they went opposite this season. Like, they started off super, like, that. Like the first episode should have been the ending.
Right.
And then they just went, you know.
You can almost feel, and I'm pretty sure that there was some sort of change in staff within the, do you guys know about, like, at the end, like within the last few episodes, I know that Kurtzman walked away.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I read that online.
Right, and I don't know if he was involved in the last episodes, but it almost feels like up until the last maybe four or five episodes, that show was really going strong. And then it felt like it changed. I can't explain it.
I know what you're saying. Right. It definitely did change. From what I read, one of the executive producers from the first season is actually coming back to do this next season. And the first season was good.
First season was really good.
So let's just hope that he pulls that trend back and brings that back.
Yeah, hopefully, because that first season is, I mean,
yeah,
six episodes. Really, really, some of the best television you've probably seen in the last few years. So,
I think it's awesome. You get a zombie movie every week, so.
Right, right. That is true. All and right. Eventually probably zombie television series as well. So.
All right, what do you got? What do you got there in front of you?
All right, so very quickly kind of run through some upcoming DVD Blu-ray releases, right? So Synapse Films, and I was very excited about this release. Synapse Films is releasing Street Trash on Blu-ray. And Street Trash, while not a favorite of many people, it's sort of split. The people I talk to, it's sort of love-hate. I personally think it's a great movie. I love it. Well, unfortunately, that's been postponed till July. I guess they had issues with the guy that was doing the restoration. He didn't do a great job, but you can go to their website, go to their Facebook, and you can sort of read all about it. But the guy really, really didn't do the restoration the way they hoped, and, made a lot of sort of touch-ups and changes that actually made the film look worse than it did. Synapse Films has also released their Blu-ray releases of Demons, Demons 2, Tenebrae, and Phenomena.
I'm getting those.
Yeah.
I have to say
that's definitely a pickup.
Right, yeah. I'm pretty psyched about those. Blue Underground July 30th, they are releasing the Bad Girls Behind Bars box set.
Nice.
And this is directly from their website. Hot, sweaty, naked. Five sexy and sleazy women in prison filth fest. Totally uncut and uncensored. Amazon jail, bear behind bars, 99 women. Sadomania and women behind bars. Let's see. Bear behind bars and women behind bars. So, you know, I guess you two want to pick that one up, or you want to go down to Best Buy and be the guy that walks through line with the Bad Girls Behind Bars box set?
Yeah, wait till I see that in the five. I'll just wait till it's at Walmart for the $5 bin.
I bet you can get it at Chiller.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah? So much fucking porn at Chiller.
That's not porn, Connor. Women in prison films.
Oh, I see.
All right?
It's classy.
Right, it's a specific genre of film. You know, porn. So, Shout Factory has released the Bruce Lee Legacy Collection.
This is awesome.
Right? It is.
Yeah.
So, July 9th, if you pre-order, you can have this on July 9th. If you don't pre-order, you get it on August 6th. So, the films included in this set, and these are Blu-ray, are The Big Boss, Fists of Fury, Game of Death, and Way of the Dragon. This set is retailing at $100. That's 11 discs, and it has 2 documentaries, features, all the good stuff. And since it's Shout Factory, it's going to be good.
Be packed.
Right. I mean, it's 11 discs. Yeah. Like, you know, for $100, you're getting 11 discs.
Yeah.
$10 a disc, so whatever. It's good. Screen Factory has announced Cue the Winged Serpent, which I'm pretty excited about. I don't know if you guys have seen that. But it's the Larry Cohen creature feature about a giant dragon that lives on top of the Empire State Building, it's actually a pretty fun movie with some really good stop motion.
Wasn't he at Chiller too?
Larry Cohen was at Chiller. Yeah,
he was selling those fucking stuff cups.
Right, yeah. The $50 screen used stuff cups.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't buy one of those.
No, not worth it.
Screen Factory is releasing a double feature of X-Ray and Schizoid. Those are 2 slasher films. Scanners 2 and 3 on a double feature. Swamp Thing, not the uncut version. You will not see Adrian Barbeau topless in this version. The Amityville box set, 1, 2, and 3, with part 3 in 3D.
Yeah.
Right.
This is gonna be nice.
This is gonna be a good set. So, the 3D is not the traditional blue and red 3D. It's Blu-ray 3D. They're also including the 2D version. So, I mean, I don't know what the retail is on this yet, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be a pretty awesome set. We'll be picking it up, and I don't know, we may talk about
now,
it here, you know.
That, the 3D, you need the DVD player and the TV to do that, right?
Yeah, like, they haven't said, you know, like, they haven't been, this was on their Facebook page, and people asked about it, and all they said was that it's not the blue-red 3D, that it's, you know, so I don't know if you need a 3D Blu-ray player, if you need a 3D TV. I don't know what the fuck you need, because I don't have any of that.
Yeah, me neither.
But either way, it's still available on 2D in the set, so if you can't watch the 3D...
Yeah, well, I got a pair of red-blue glasses, so...
Right.
You guys really care about 3D, though? I mean...
No, I don't. No. But it's more like it's like watching Friday the 13th Part 3 in 3D. Although that transfer was awful... You know, it's more like there's probably a lot of shit flying at the screen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the last company here is Vinegar Syndrome, which Vinegar Syndrome is an interesting company. They put out a lot of hardcore exploitation, but they put out other stuff too. And on June 11th, they're releasing Punk Vacation. Looks like a interesting movie. It's not hardcore. It's just a very sort of a lost film. They also recently released The Massage Parlor Murders on Blu-ray, which is a really, really great transfer. They did The Lost Films of Herschel Gordon Lewis, and they did The Telephone Book. So they put out good stuff, but they also recently released a double feature of The Vixens of Kung Fu and Oriental Blue. Now, these are 2 hardcore features. Now, Vixens of Kung Fu... is a hardcore rape revenge, so I guess if you're into that...
Can't go wrong with that.
Right, I mean, if you're into that, you can have that on Blu-ray, so it'll be crystal clear. I guess the interesting thing about these movies is just they're 70s. Most of them are shot in, you know, 42nd Street, New York. Massage Parlor Murders was shot there, and it looks fantastic. They do a great job. So, if you're interested in the sort of lost hardcore stuff, yeah, Victims of Kung Fu and Oriental Blue. Yeah, maybe Connor will pick that up. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
And, you know, a model needs his movies. So.
That's right. Maybe you could be in one of these hardcore films someday.
All right.
That's probably what they were trying to get me for.
All right. Any other DVDs there?
Mm-mm.
All right.
That is it.
So we got three movies here that we all watched. We all got to pick our own movies to watch here. And what was your movie, Connor?
Mine was War of the Dead, which I actually picked up at Chiller. It's about a platoon of American and Finnish soldiers. They're on a mission to destroy a Russian bunker, but on the way, they run into some fucking zombies, and shit goes crazy. The director is Marko Mikolasko, so I don't know what the fuck his name is. But I've never heard of him before. He also wrote it. Stars Andrew Tiernan, who is the only one from the movie I actually recognized. He's in, actually, 300. He's been in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. It also stars Samuel Vararimo. And Miko Leplampi. It was originally shot in 2007 in Lithuania, and it was the most expensive movie shot in Lithuania at the time. But it ran out of money and was finished in 2011. And according to the director, he made it as a love letter to 80s action movies like Rambo, American Ninja, and Terminator. Which I don't know about you guys, but it makes a lot of sense when you hear that, because it doesn't really feel like a horror movie. It feels very much like you're watching just a straight-up action movie.
It's not a horror film.
No, it's not a horror
film. Not at all.
It's also not Rambo or Terminator.
No,
definitely not.
No.
But that's what he was going for.
Right. I get that.
Yeah. But, yeah, I didn't... What do you guys think about it?
You want my honest opinion on it?
First,
sure.
Go first.
I thought it was fucking terrible. I hated almost every ounce of that movie. I don't know if... Do you have anything else you want to say about it?
Yeah, I mean... The reason I got so excited about watching it, you know, on the cover it says it's like Band of Brothers mixed with, you know, a cool zombie movie, but...
You like war films, right?
They lie.
Other than horror films, war movies are probably my favorite genre of movies. So I figured this was perfect for me, but it wasn't what I was expecting. I mean, it had like a couple battle scenes at the beginning, which were kind of good. The effects in the movie are okay, but yeah, it really doesn't work for me. The zombies sucked, I thought. They were fast and almost like superhero-ish at times. Like at one point, a guy punches through a fucking wall, which I don't get. But yeah, and they didn't even need the zombies really. I mean, they just threw them in to get people to fucking watch the movie. I mean, they never even show an up close picture of the zombies. There's no gore in the movie. There's no gore. They don't show any scenes where zombies are ripping apart people, which is always an awesome part of, you know, a zombie movie.
Yeah, well, speaking of no gore, I don't know if you guys noticed watching this. Every time there was a gunshot, there was CGI blood, and you never saw a bullet.
Yeah.
Right.
You never saw a bullet. It was always CGI blood.
Right.
Now, one question I had about this, was this movie dubbed?
I don't know, but some of the accents are really shit.
I had the worst problem. I don't know if it... I watched it on Netflix, so I don't know if it was the copy I watched.
I watched it on there, too.
I found myself having to constantly turn it up when they were talking, and then when the action started, I would have to turn it down because it got too loud.
Huh.
I had the worst problem with audio on this movie.
Yeah, I didn't have an issue with that. I don't think it was dubbed. I could be completely wrong about that. When you're talking about the acting in general, I mean, it's fine.
It's acceptable.
Right.
It's not amazing. But...
Right. It's not amazing.
The best way I heard it described online was a B-movie code with A-movie presentation.
Right.
Which
right.
I thought is pretty
but
accurate.
That's, you're right. And that's sort of the problem with the movie is it doesn't embrace its B-movie roots, right? You're taking a concept. So I don't know. It's a Nazi zombie movie.
Right.
Like, at its core. And it never...
Although the Nazi zombies don't show up till the end.
Exactly. And they never embrace that concept. Like... This could have been, and I believe that there has yet to be a really great Nazi zombie film, you know, like.
Have to disagree, Dead Snow.
Right, I know you disagree with Dead Snow. I enjoyed Dead Snow for what it was, but I still believe that somebody can really do a Nazi zombie film, bring it over the top the way it needs to be, without having the sort of lowbrow humor.
Yeah.
Right? So, but being, like, you think about something like, and I'm going to talk about this movie later, but Dead Alive, that I feel pulls off a lot of humor, and it goes lowbrow, but not to the point where, like, I think, you know, Dead Snow had a chick, like fucking a dude in an outhouse while I took crap.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right?
That might
every
have
movie
happened.
Could use that.
Right. But, you know, back to War of the Dead, I think that it, you know, you look back at its roots and I go back to, and I talked about this the other day with you, was Shockwaves. You know, that's probably one of the earliest.
Nazi zombie.
Right.
Yeah. And it's weird how those two things go together. Like,
right, like Nazis and zombies. And they're always this sort of similar idea of the Nazis were building this weapon, you know. And Shockwaves plays it more to, we're going to make a scary movie. And War of the Dead, I mean, it's an action movie, but it's not a good action movie.
No, you know, every zombie attack that happened in this movie was not entertaining for me at all.
Right.
And I didn't find any of those attacks. Anytime the zombies came, right. I wasn't like, all right, you know, this is going to be a zombie. I was just, I didn't care.
It needed to be more over the top. They needed, and part of the problem is the way they shot those action scenes.
Some of those scenes were so dark, I couldn't even see what was going
right.
on.
Right.
It was dark.
Right. And they didn't have, like, you'd have action scenes, and you need, when you have an action scene between zombies and soldiers, you need to cut into the action, right? You need to show us what's going on. Show us the makeup. Show us the over-the-top sort of action. And
you see the zombies' faces maybe like five times in the movie.
And that's a problem. I mean, like, you need to see it. Like, put them in full light.
Like, I was watching, I think it was like a behind the scenes of Walking Dead or something, and they were talking about the makeup that they used.
Yeah.
And one of the things they said to make the zombies really scary is show their teeth. Because that's their main weapon. And, you know, if you don't see the zombie's face and it's all decayed and stuff, it's not it's just a formless figure running.
Right.
You know, it's just cannon fodder.
Well, to me, it wasn't like a normal, I'm going to eat you zombie. It was more like a super zombie.
They're having fist fights with half
of it was like a super zombie.
Yeah, it was.
And
for some reason, that captain guy was fucking like Mr. Superhero.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So was the Russian guy, though. Like, there's a scene where, like, he comes in with the shovel. And beats the shit out of it. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But the other major problem I had with the movie is when I'm watching this movie, I'm thinking Predator, right? So you have a group of sort of mercenaries, right?
Or aliens,
something like that. Right? You have this small ragtag group of people going into a situation they don't fully understand, and they're attacked by an outside force that they don't fully understand. So the difference between Aliens and Predator is that these characters, you like them. You get to know them. In War of the Dead, they kill off every fucking character.
I didn't care about any of these characters
at all.
Right, in
the first 5 minutes, you're left with three people.
I was pissed when they killed Bill Paxton. Like, I liked his character.
That's what I'm saying, right? And it was the same thing in Predator. I mean, like, no matter how, whatever, I don't know what you think of Predator, but when they, you know, when they kill off characters, you know the character, like the character, and in this movie, you're never given time to know who these people are, and they never take any time to actually have any exposition to explain to you why you should give a shit about people. Well, that's a problem.
The only character development they did was that, like, they mentioned that guy had a wife that died.
Exactly.
That was it.
And the Russian guy had the girlfriend?
Yeah.
Who was, like, stowed away.
Yeah,
but you have to care about these people. When you kill off 90% of your cast in the first 5 minutes, that's a problem.
Or, I mean, and if you don't care about them, make it gory. So we actually like Angus, you know, and they didn't do that.
I don't care if it's cliched, do the, let's kill them off one by one by one.
Right.
You know, it's been done before, but the reason it's been done before is because it works. You know, this movie, the pacing was good. I'm gonna say this about it. Pacing was good. I wasn't bored.
It didn't move fast. It was a fast.
Right. I think I don't think Mike would echo that. I think Mike was bored during this movie. I'm pretty sure he said he fell asleep.
I was fucking bored the second time.
Oh my god!
I wouldn't watch it again.
Hell no! I didn't want to watch it the first time.
Right. But
I do got one question on the end though. At the end, when it shows them all, was that Was that U.S., Russia, or Finland?
who was that in the movie? No, because when they were talking on the radio, he said that there was a Russian battalion coming.
See, all right, so I missed that. Like, my thought was, and I was talking to him, I thought it was a fucking horde of zombies. And I was like, oh, they're setting up a sequel.
Fucking zombies with tanks, oh shit.
Right. I'm like, oh shit, the sequel's coming. Yeah. They're gonna, I'm like, that's the movie I want to see. Yeah. I want to see zombies with tanks.
Yeah, that would be fucking awesome, actually.
Right. But there is, I want to say this one thing. There's a Nazi zombie movie coming out called Frankenstein's Army, and that is coming out, I think, within the next year. It's already premiered at a few film festivals. Maybe that'll meet the expectation of what I expect from this genre.
And there is a sequel to Dead Snow coming out, which is called, right. I think it's called War of the Dead 2.
And there's another Outpost coming out, although I haven't seen the original.
Yeah, I'll have to see that.
Right, I'm pretty sure they're coming out with another one of those. So. All
right.
Maybe there's hope.
Any other things on that?
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
All right. So moving on to, I actually watched Evil Ed. It's a horror comedy movie from 1995, starring John Rudbeck, directed by Anders Jacobsen. Both of those guys, he only directed two other movies, never heard of them. The guy only was in two other movies, never heard of those either. Evil Ed is about a mild-mannered film editor who is assigned to cut a series of slasher films that drives him insane by the miles of extreme and violent footage that he edits. Pretty much sums up the movie.
Yeah.
I actually...
With the titties mixed in.
Oh, right. Yeah. But I actually, I enjoyed this movie. I, thought it was great, and I was either smiling or laughing pretty much through this whole movie. There wasn't a part of this movie that I didn't really like. From what I gathered, this movie actually took 5 years to make. Those cuts you see as Ed is cutting the film, that film that you see during the movie was actually the very first things to ever be filmed for that movie. Then they moved on to everything else.
The fake films and like the loose limbs stuff?
Yeah. That was all the first stuff to be filmed, from what I gather.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, Ed is just this guy who, he's kind of nerdish. He, just basically, his job is to cut old school film. Like the old 8mm or whatever it is there. And he works for a guy named Sam Campbell, who's a complete douchebag.
Love that guy.
The guy is awesome. He's just a douchebag. Treats Ed like crap, but, he hires all these women to wear really short skirts and work around them. Did you guys notice the old lady right in the beginning that takes like 3 frames? Like,
I actually wrote that down. Yeah. It made me fucking laugh, dude.
It takes her forever.
You see her still walking by. Yeah.
And she's got like a stack of canisters in her hand.
It's just like little shit like that I love.
Yeah. There was a lot of stuff. Even like the stuff that we picked up. I know I talked to you about Evil Dead 2 posters that kept popping up throughout the movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I looked. I couldn't figure out what that was all about. I did notice them in several frames, different parts of the houses. Different parts of the office they were in. The dialogue in this movie was great. I thought that it was pretty good. The effects for what they were actually pretty good.
Oh, absolutely.
And Ed, the actual character of Ed is pretty good. He is a very likable character right off the bat. You like him. You feel bad for him as Sam Campbell here is pushing him around. And even as he starts to change, you still feel bad for him.
You still enjoy him. You have to like him. He's the central character, and even when he's a complete fucking psychopath, you still like the guy. You know, it's you can't help but he's got good screen presence, and
he did a fabulous job.
I enjoyed his performance. Yeah.
I mean, the score in this movie was pretty standard for you know that type of movie. It was same stuff you always used to hearing, but this film was actually a silent film. It was all recorded silent, and it was all dubbed, and all the sound effects were added afterwards.
I think I read that somewhere.
I could see that. After thinking about that now.
Yeah.
The movie actually takes place in the USA, but it's actually a Swedish film.
Right.
So, I thought it was great the way they actually presented Ed to start to slowly hallucinate, as he started cutting these films.
Yeah.
And I know you had a favorite part of the movie.
Right.
So,
you want to play? Well, so let's just get some background here. So there's a film that Ed is working on, and it contains a very specific scene. So rather than explain the scene, because they don't show it in the film. All you ever do is hear about it. I guess I gave a sound clip to Mike here so that we could listen to this very short clip. So here it is.
Where in the fuck is my beaver rape scene? There was no sexually explicit footage in that scene. No tits. No cocks, no pussy, no obscene body movements. Beaver rape clip stays in the film.
That's fantastic. Holds up every time
like,
you hear it.
Like that clip for me pretty much sums up Evil Ed, right? So it's parodying it's parodying the films, right? The horror films, these splatter films that the fans love.
There's a ton of like quotes from other movies, like Groovy.
And that, it's parodying the censors. So this film in general is making fun of not only the fans, it's making fun of the censors. It's poking, everybody is sort of fair game in this, which is what I really liked about this movie.
Yep.
Is, it, like, I guess from what I read a little bit of backstory on this, and Evil Ed was sort of made to say, fuck you to the Swedish censors, who I guess were really, really strict. And they were poking fun of these people. I mean, Evil Ed is, you know, a characterization of these people.
It's what they think is going to happen to people if they
watch
horror movies.
Exactly. Yeah. And the fan, the great thing about this is that guy, the fan, who I love, the guy that watches
it, was awesome.
He's not fucked up at all from these.
No.
He watches these movies day in and day out, and he represents, you know, the people who watch this shit. The people who are like, think it's funny, think it's entertaining, who get the joke. And Evil Ed represents the censor, the guy who's...
Yeah, the stuck-up guys who then watch it. And,
right, he's not in on the joke, and that's... I loved that. I thought that was so much fun. And, you know, you mentioned the special effects. I think the special effects are really good. It's all practical.
Yeah, for the most part.
Right, it's got some fucking gore in it.
Right, you're looking at, God, you're looking at, you know, mid-90s film. It's
one of the effects, I mean, it was one of the cheesier effects that I laughed so hard was the gremlin and the refrigerator.
I was thinking the same.
I love that.
Right, I was thinking the same.
Yeah. Because what other movie do you get a gremlin that turns around, gives you the finger, and tells you to fuck off? I mean, that is fantastic.
The funny thing about this movie is the way that they have. So they have like this. They have every stereotypical sort of horror movie character in Ed's hallucinations. He's got a devil. He's got the sort of deadites, the evil dead sort of deadites, right? There's influence there. You have the fucking gremlin troll. You even have, I guess she's like a vampire at the end. I don't know what the fuck she's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But like everything sort of, it's almost like he's seeing these very basic generalizations of horror genre characters. And I thought that was great because, you know, that's, I think that's how it's sort of viewed, you know, like, I don't know. It's just a lot of fun for me to watch that and see these influences.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that Evil Ed doesn't have a bigger following. And,
I think the problem is that here, you can only get it on VHS here.
Right, which is what I have, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you got the VHS copy. And, you know, anybody who didn't see it that's trying to watch it now, there's really no, unless you got Netflix.
Yeah, it is available.
It's on Netflix.
It is available on Netflix, but if you want to own it, you have to get either a bootleg, or you have to get the VHS copy, because it was never released here on DVD.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, the only thing I can think is there's obviously the foreign aspect. It's a foreign film.
It's a Swedish film?
It is Swedish, right?
It's Swedish, yep.
So the way I see it is like Evil Ed was, at least the way I'm watching it, is it's highly influenced by Dead Alive. By Bad Taste. Like, even the music, if you listen to the music in this movie, it feels very much like a Peter Jackson film from, you know, his early career. So Bad Taste, Dead Alive. You can even go back to some of the 80s sort of horror comedies. This thing, Evil Dead 2, that's why the posters are all over the walls. The guy that made this film is referencing Evil Dead 2 in his movie. And I think that's why it's not as big of a classic as it could be, because it's not quite as good as the movies that it's referencing. And I think it probably deserves a better status.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you
definitely.
Know what I mean? I think that's what it is that at the end of the day, if you have Dead Alive or Evil Dead 2 in front of you and you have Evil Ed, you're going to choose Evil Dead 2 or Dead Alive before you choose Evil Ed.
Right.
And that's probably what it is. I mean, that's the only thing I could think, because this thing has cult status written all over it.
Oh, yeah. And the ending to this was, I thought was great. There's a whole bunch of other stuff in the movie that's great. I mean, you really got to watch it to understand it. But there was one part when he first starts going crazy, he bolts the door closed, or he boards it closed, and Sam comes, but he does it from the inside, and the door opens to the outside. So there was no point in him doing it. Things like that. Some of the things that he says, like when the guy goes in the house to rob him, the heavy metal guy, you know, and he's like, oh, you like headbanging? And he starts just headbanging his head against the table. That was pretty good. A lot of great, great one-liners. And the end of the movie was awesome. You know, big shootout, you know.
Loved it.
Typical cliche.
I love that line. It's, rest in pieces, motherfucker.
Fucker. Yeah.
And then he fucking blows the top of his head off. I mean,
it's a very satisfying
ending. It is. Like, you feel, at the end of that movie, you just feel so, like, wow.
Yeah. So I would recommend anybody out there who, hasn't seen it, I would recommend you, either see it or try to find it and add it to your collection and add that to your library because it is worth owning. So that pretty much sums up, Evil Ed here. So, what was it that you watched there, Adam?
All right, let's move on to the Deadly Spawn.
Fuck yeah.
So, a meteor crashes to Earth, carrying with it several eel-like, sharp-toothed, flesh-eating alien creatures. They pretty quickly dispatch of a couple of campers before taking refuge in a family's basement, at which point they begin picking off family members one by one, and one particular spawn grows larger and larger. The only thing standing between the complete consumption of the human race and the deadly spawn is a group of college students and a preteen monster movie fanatic. So the deadly spawn was made in 1983 on a budget of roughly $20,000. Reportedly made about $320,000 in its opening weekend. Post-production cost, after having to, you know, strike 35mm prints and advertising, was probably closer to $250,000, but I don't think those numbers are really clear. The film was made entirely in New Jersey and was considered a weekend film. It was filmed at the homes of producer Ted Boas and Tim Hildebrandt, as well as some backyards of various friends, girlfriends, what have you. The way the Deadly Spawn sort of came up was Ted Boas came up with the idea, and it was the early 80s, and he felt that the horror genre was saturated with slasher films. So you're looking at right after the release of Friday the 13th, so you had this slasher movie boom in the early 80s. Everybody was making slasher films. You know, you could make a slasher film for $1 million and make 20 million, you know, if you were lucky. So what he thought was, what we're missing in the genre is creature features. We're missing sci-fi horror films. You know, Alien had just come out. I mean, it was only 5 years prior to the release of this that we saw Alien. So Ted Boas very quickly sort of came up with the script and the concept and the creature idea and decided, let's make this fucking movie. So he teamed up with a few people. Tim Hildebrandt, who did the artwork for the original Star Wars poster and would be a pretty driving force behind the art direction of this film. The special effects in the movie were created by John Dodds. And John Dodds was also a producer. He worked on the movie Spookies. I don't know if you guys have seen that. It's a pretty disjointed movie, but the special effects are fantastic. And he also worked on TV series Monsters in the late 80s. The film was released under a few different titles. So its original release was The Deadly Spawn. It was also released in the UK as Return of the Aliens, The Deadly Spawn. And I guess that was in some way to cash in on the success of the Aliens.
Yeah, I read that. Yeah.
Right, and that would have been in 1986. So you're looking at 3 years after. So I don't know if that was the video release or the theatrical release in the UK. They might have done a re-release, I'm not sure. But, you know, it had a few different titles. Aliens, Deadly Spawn, Return of the Aliens, Deadly Spawn, Return of the Aliens, The Deadly Spawn. I'll start off with some negatives about the movie. The pacing could be a lot better. So you have some scenes in the middle. You have these college students. It drags a little bit. My first viewing of this movie, I felt, you know, it's sort of like, you know, look at your phone, look at the clock. And I learned later that apparently what they did is, for a week of shooting, they brought in some guy that had a camera who was a quote-unquote director to shoot a bunch of scenes. Well, as I'm watching the movie, I realize there's no fucking cutaway shots in these scenes. Like, the camera's set up, you're watching people in a room, but there's the, you know, you get interest, you get pacing from cutaways, from editing. Well, there's nothing to cut to because this guy shot one single, you know, scene. So he didn't move the camera, he didn't move it around, he didn't shoot cutaways. So you're watching basically just, you know, one angle of film. And that's, I realize after that's the flaw with the film. But the flaws of this film sort of make it that much more fun.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, these creatures, if you can picture this, they're sort of like giant penises. With really, really...
It's kind of a combination of the monster from Little Shop of Horrors with aliens.
Right. So,
yeah. And this is, that's the best way to describe it, really.
I was going to bring this up because as I'm watching the movie, so you see the opening scene of this movie is a meteor crashing to Earth. And if you've ever seen the original Blob or the remake, this is the Blob, right? So they're clearly homaging the Blob, this creature that crashes into Earth on a meteor, starts devouring everybody in sight, grows bigger and bigger. That's the Blob. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. They admittedly are homaging 50s sci-fi films. I think that's great. The creature design is fantastic. It's just a fucking, like...
Before you describe the creature, the one thing I liked about this movie was before you actually see the creature, you get that first kill where it's just a shadow, so you don't get to see the creature yet.
Right.
And you do that twice.
Yeah. And I actually really liked that. Mm-hmm. I was, cause that left more anticipation of, well, what is this thing? Right. And then the next time you actually see it is shortly after that when her husband's hand lands on her shoulder.
Right.
And it's actually the monster eating the body.
Right.
Which was awesome.
And that's your first glimpse at the monster. That's the first time you see it. And it's just rows of teeth. And the thing is, I mean, it's a camera effect, you know? Like, this thing's a giant fucking puppet.
Yep.
But it looks fantastic. They covered it in rubber cement, apparently. And that's where you get all that goo from. And the $20,000 or so that they had went to the effects. The actors weren't paid.
$19,000 went to the effects.
Actors weren't paid. Nobody was paid on this movie.
Yeah.
You know, it was like... It was just a bunch of people who really believed in what they were doing.
And I mean, other than the monster, what do they really need to spend money on?
You don't.
I mean, they're at their house.
Charles, the main boy in it, is the son of Tim Hildebrandt, who is the producer and did the, you know, a lot of the art direction and whatnot. So, you know, they didn't pay him. They didn't pay the actresses. They didn't pay the actors. All the money went to the effects, and I think they're fantastic.
One of the effects I actually like that I don't remember seeing pretty much in any other movie that I can remember is when the boy is in the living room, you actually see, you don't see the creature, but you see the rug raise and you can see it move.
Right. I thought that was so fucking creepy. Right. That was awesome.
I wrote
that down. Yeah.
And I mean, that doesn't take much to do, but it's just the effect is very effective.
And there's a couple things. One thing, the characters are surprisingly likable. So they're really broadly drawn. Like, you can see, first of all, through Charles, which is the boy in the film, you can see the love of these films through his character. Like, the filmmakers love these sci-fi horror films. And they created Charles, he's sort of a mirror image of them. You know, like, he's got the posters on the wall, he's got the masks, he's got... He loves these movies, and that's, you can see that they're not making fun of sci-fi horror films. They're legitimately, you know, homaging them, and I love that. And even the broadly drawn characters, you don't need to know that much about them. You know, you have the blonde, you have sort of the stupid, you know, jockish guy, you have the nerdy guy, you have the nerdy girl. That's all you need to know about them, and for a movie like this, that works. And they're likable. Like, and as I had a couple of favorite scenes. One of them being when Charles goes into the basement for the very first time, and he sees that guy's torso, and there's all those little spawns feeding on like his hat on the electrician's torso. That looks great.
Yeah, I like that too.
Like they're almost like little pigs, like suckling, and then you have like the mother spawn. And she's sort of like watching over as the little babies sort of feed on his body. And it's just.
It looks so good when they move around too. I guess yeah. They actually made like a little track and then they would just pull him along.
They
and
made
it,
a
it
fake,
works so
they
good.
They made
though.
A fake floor and yeah. They like put him on just like lines and just, you know, worked him through.
Yeah.
The other scene that I really love is the scene with the old ladies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When they're having like their dinner party and they fucking, one of the spawns goes into the blender. And they blend it up.
And they
like,
all taste it?
Yeah, and they all start eating it. Yeah.
I was so happy watching that.
And then immediately they start fucking attacking these old ladies. And I guess...
I love when the lady comes back into the room, and there's one attached to the lady's leg and one attached to her face. Yeah. And she's just kind of like flopping on the floor.
Oh,
it's
my
hilarious.
God, it's great. And I guess they were... Those ladies, like the old ladies, were part of a comedy like troupe in New York City. They were actually paid to be in the film. They were, you know, legitimate sort of... actresses, I guess, but that scene, I love that. I laugh.
But it's cool because you get to see people that aren't typically in horror movies, like a bunch of old ladies having a dinner party, like, and they get fucking attacked by aliens.
Oh,
it's awesome.
It's great. And you know, that the end of the movie as well, it's when that giant spawn comes out of the hillside, and that's just, they did that effect for like $300, they said, and it's created, you know, it's obviously a fake house and a fake sky, and but it just, it works. You know, like, this movie for me works. And I picked it because I can watch it over and over again and it's flawed and it's got pacing problems and the acting is mediocre at times. If
most
not,
of the time.
If not worse. But it's enjoyable. It's so much fun. It's so lean. It's just a simple story.
Well, it's one of those movies where the person that was making it wanted to make it and wanted to make it right.
Right.
And even though it wasn't 100% right, he put his heart into it.
And he loved the material.
Yes.
You know, he was not looking down on it. You know, filmmakers today would take material like this and they make fun of it. He's not making fun of this. He legitimately loves this and you can feel it. And as a fan, as a viewer, you know, you just enjoy watching it. You don't feel that disdain.
So. It felt almost a little similar to, like, Slither, maybe. Like,
right.
That's,
I mean,
what you would...
And when you talk about Little Shop of Horrors, I mean, the Little Shop of Horrors remake came out 3 years after The Deadly Spawn.
Right.
But you can see, you know, as far as the creature puppet design, there's almost influence there. Because the original Shop of Horrors was just, you know, kind of a big, cheap-looking fake plant. But the remake was this giant puppet with rows of teeth. And it looks very similar to The Deadly Spawn. And it's... I think this film probably influenced a lot more than maybe people say, and it just deserves a higher status, I think. I don't think enough people have seen it and enough people really appreciate it.
Well, I think what they should have done was taken the monster from The Deadly Spawn and brought it over to the War of the Dead and just ate everybody in that fucking film. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Just
eat the fucking director. Just, eat everybody.
Just destroy it. That would be awesome.
War of the Deadly Spawn. Like, that would have been the sequel.
Yeah.
That giant spawn that comes out at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
The fucking thing, like, going through Germany. Fucking.
Just eating everybody. Yeah.
But, yeah, great movie. I can't recommend it enough. It's not going to be for everybody, but.
Did anybody else think when the dad turned around that it was Evil Ed? I swear to fucking God, it looked like Evil Ed.
I didn't
to me. Like,
but I watched The Deadly Spawn before I watched Evil Ed.
Oh, really?
So maybe. I don't know. No, I didn't get that, but maybe I'll have to look again, but.
All right.
So.
And it actually legitimately, my brother was watching it with me too. It legitimately scared him.
Adam watched it with you?
Yeah. Well, he was in bed, like. Just,
wait,
he was
watched
to
The Deadly
asleep.
Spawn?
Yeah.
Really?
It freaked him out a little bit, though.
Really?
Yeah.
And how old is he?
What about
12.
What did he think of the old lady nipples in the beginning? Did you see those? Maybe you can only really see them on a Blu-ray, really.
Oh, through the shirt.
Right. For some reason, on the Blu-ray, man, they like made these nipples crystal. I don't even know why.
He wasn't watching the beginning, but.
All right.
Yeah, he would have liked that.
Right.
Liked
yeah,
that.
He would've. He's at the right age. He's like 13, 12.
Yeah.
All right. So, So, it was a good movie. I fully enjoyed it.
Definitely
that was
the best of the week, I think.
Oh,
out of all the movies.
And that's another movie to add to your library if you don't have it. Definitely go out and get that
it's
one.
It's not on Netflix. You can watch it on YouTube.
Yep.
At the moment, anyway.
That's how I watched it. So, all right. So, basically what we're going to do now is we have a list of 12 movies. I picked 4, Adam picked 4, and Connor picked 4. Adam's going to read these off to you, and then we're going to randomly... be a number is going to be randomly be chosen for each of us, and that is the movie that we're going to have to pick or watch. I mean, I'm sorry.
All right, so here's our list. So we have I Drink Your Blood. We have Raw Meat from The Rejuvenator, Monster Squad, Night of the Scarecrow, The Lift, Rolling Thunder, and Planet of the Vampires. Blood Feast 2, All You Can Eat, Basket Case, The Descent, Blood Diner.
All right. So we'll let Connor hit the number generator there.
This is Connor, right?
This is going to be Connor's movie.
Number, so. Right.
Here we go.
Hit the button.
He gets number five.
Connor gets Night of the Scarecrow from 1995.
Cool. That was one of the movies I picked.
So. Right.
All right, so I guess I'm going to go now.
Yeah. Number 9.
I got Blood Feast 2, All You Can Eat. All
right, I've been wanting to watch that movie anyway, so. All right, well,
and I've seen it before. So. Okay.
All right. And I get number 3.
Mike gets The Rejuvenator.
Perfect. Oh, two of mine get picked.
Yeah, man. Two of yours, one of Connor's, and none of mine.
All right, so that will be next week, so.
So next week we'll be watching The Rejuvenator, Blood Feast 2, All You Can Eat, and Night of the Scarecrow, which was recently released on Blu-ray. So,
all right. Any? All right. Anything else you guys want to say or do, or before we go?
I think we're good. We got plenty to watch. So.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week with those 3 movies.
Is my beaver rape scene. There was no sexually explicit footage in that scene. No tits, no cocks, no pussy, no obscene body movements. Beaver rape clip stays in the film.